From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where we hear from politicians and experts on the issues of the day.
Saturday week's by-election in the Sydney seat of Wentworth, formerly held by Malcolm Turnbull, is crucial for the Morrison government for two reasons. It is the first real-time test of Scott Morrison's prime ministership, and the government's House of Representatives majority depends on it holding this seat. Malcolm Turnbull had a 17.7% margin in Wentworth. But with the government struggling in the national polls and the presence of a high-profile independent candidate in Kerrin Phelps, the by-election is considered a tough contest. We spent a day in Wentworth this week, and in this podcast we bring you interviews with Liberal candidate Dave Sharma, Labor's Tim Murray, as well as Kerrin Phelps. But first, some background and analysis from the ABC's election expert, Anthony Green. Anthony Green, first tell us something about Wentworth. It's always been a Liberal seat, hasn't it? Although the margins have varied widely.
Well, it's always been based on the Woollahra Council, Southhead District of Sydney. So it's always been a solid establishment seat. It's always returned Conservative members, Liberals consistently since the 1940s. So it's always been an establishment seat. And it's grown over the years with cuts in the size and number of seats in New South Wales and population growth in the suburbs. It's grown in size and it's now a bit more socially mixed. It's got Woollahra Council, which is the most affluent part along Sydney Harbour with the nice views. But it also has Waverley Council, which includes Bondi and Bronte, which are a bit more socially mixed, though in recent decades have also become much more affluent.
How much of that 17.7% margin that it's on at the moment do you think is Malcolm Turnbull's personal vote?
It's rare for an urban member to have more than 2 or 3% as a personal vote, but I think in Malcolm Turnbull's case, he did. He was very well known. He was the Prime Minister. He was long connections with the electorate. So if you look at when he first won the electorate in controversial circumstances, defeating Peter King, the former member, he had a very narrow margin then, and he increased it. It consistently increased it since. Some of the margin, you know, he's sort of widened the gap between Wentworth and the rest of the state by about 10%, which you can sometimes measure as being a personal vote. That may also reflect that Labor's withdrawn resources from the seat in recent years, haven't bothered really campaigning very hard. And so for that reason, that 10% widening that we've seen in Wentworth over the last decade is partly sitting member factor, and it's partly, I think, just Labor not campaigning too much, and so it's sort of boosted the Liberal margin. So at the by-election, what we'll be missing is both Malcolm Turnbull's personal vote and the fact that everybody else is putting a lot more effort into the contest. So you're looking at a 10% swing just as a start. Now, they've got a buffer of 17%, but a 10% swing would bring it back to what it was traditionally before Malcolm Turnbull was the member.
And, of course, the ghost of Turnbull, if we might put it that way, is still around, isn't it? Because some people will be making judgments about his removal and some people will be making judgments about his departure before the general election.
Yes, certainly. I mean, some people will be upset that he left, but I don't think there's too much upset that a former Prime Minister has chosen to walk out of Parliament. I mean, he's made it clear what he thinks the former Prime Minister is hanging around. So I don't think there'll be unhappiness at his resignation. There'll be unhappiness at the way the Liberal Party deposed him. A lot of people still support him, but the fact that he has backed Dave Sharma, the new Liberal candidate, the fact that Dave Sharma was the best candidate in the field that they chose, he's a potential future cabinet minister. This is one of the electorates that I like to say rules the country. Wentworth, Warringah, Higgins, it's where most of the people who run the country live. So I think that Sharma has an appeal to that sort of an electorate. And I expect that sometime before the election that there'll be a letter from Malcolm Turnbull in support of Dave Sharma to the electorate. You'd expect that, although Malcolm Turnbull's not going to come back himself. So I think there's a bunch of things which indicate to me that, yes, there was a lot of unhappiness. We saw those early opinion polls with the Liberal vote down at 40%. But as everything's fallen into place and the Liberals have, you know, avoided having internal arguments, I think the Liberal vote might have solidified back towards a level where they should be able to win.
Now, predictions are obviously hazardous, but how do you think Kerrin Phelps' chances are? You're suggesting that they're really not that good, is that right?
The Liberals should win the seat. The only danger to them is Kerrin Phelps. There's the Greens will finish probably fourth, but it's a battle between whether Labor or Kerrin Phelps finish second. If Labor finishes second, the Liberals will win easily. Karen Phelps' preferences are not going to flow solidly to Labor. And in fact, because of mucking up her preference comments earlier in the campaign, she's issuing a how-to-vote card with preferences to the Liberals. So if Labor finishes second, the Liberals win easily, relatively easily, is my view. Karen Phelps finished second. It's a more complex contest because she will do much better out of Green and Labor preferences. And, you know, if all voters focused on was defeating the Liberal candidate, then Karen Phelps is the obvious candidate, is the only one who can defeat the Liberal. But while it's a tactic you see in British politics under first past the post to drive down the votes of other candidates to maximise the chance of defeating somebody, because Australians grew up under preferential voting, we don't think that way. Our strategy that voters always take into the ballot box is voting for the candidates in the order you want to see them elected. In Britain, voters will change their vote to maximise the chances of defeating someone. Karen Phelps has been trying to get a rather strange message across to vote, to sort of say to people voting for other parties, if you really want to beat the Liberal, you're better off voting for me. The difficulty, that's a very difficult message for an independent to get across, because what an independent is really trying to do is saying, vote for me because I'm the best candidate.
Now, she's the biggest small player, if we can put it like that, but there are lots of small players in this 16-candidate field. Is that a complication, especially for her?
Oh, look, most of those minor parties, we saw 17 candidates in New England, we saw a dozen in Bennelong. So we're used to these sort of big fields. And what happens when you get a big field like this? There'll only be four candidates with more than 10% of the vote. There will probably be 12 to 15 candidates with under 2%. And if you're getting under 2%, you're basically not handing out how-to-vote cards and your preferences will be all over the place. All those other candidates you can treat as neutrals. The one advantage with such a large ballot paper is people vote for the two or three candidates they know and then often just revert to flinging the rest top to bottom. Dave Sharma's got a better ballot position than Karen Phelps. So for sort of people who just end up filling the ballot paper down the column because they don't know anybody else, he will have a slight advantage from that. But I think they should change the electoral laws so that for by-elections, candidates have to have nominators. Currently, political parties can nominate candidates centrally and they don't need local nominators. But we're seeing big fields in these by-elections often full of candidates who have absolutely no connection with the electorate.
Send your message more widely on issues.
Yeah, we saw it in New England. I think only half the candidates had any connection with the electorate anyway. It's a way of small parties trying to get in the field for a by-election and getting more coverage. It's a way of getting publicity. The way registered parties work is it's very easy to nominate candidates because you don't need any connection with the local area.
For Phelps to have a chance, she has to come second rather than third and beat Labor, but while Labor seems to be trying to come third, trying to maximise her chances without saying so, there is a real risk for it, isn't it, that it doesn't do as badly as it wants to do?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Labor's unlikely to win this seat. I mean, there's been some polls floating around. I mean, most of the polls we've seen were done quite early in the campaign. We haven't seen a lot of polling in the last week or two. And I suspect that polling is being done and for various reasons is not being released because nobody wants to get a certain message out. Look, to defeat the Liberal candidate, to defeat Dave Sharma, Labor needs to finish third. Labor's preferences and Green preferences can elect Karen Phelps. But Karen Phelps has had a difficult campaign. She's mucked up the campaign. Independents get elected because of who they are, not because of what they stand for. If Karen Phelps has been wanting to debate the Liberals on policy, that's not how independents win seats. Independents win seats because of who they are. So I think it's got a confusion there. Secondly, she got a very confusing message at first on preferences. If you're running as an independent, you're saying, I'm the best candidate. You're not running to punish another party. You're running to say, I'm running to represent this electorate. It's a message which works very well in regional electorates, where people are more likely to know candidates and where it's more likely you can talk about local services. In an urban electorate like Wentworth, it's harder to be known. Karen Phelps has at least got a high profile, but it's very hard to argue for local services when you're in the middle of an urban electorate and so many services are saved with other electorates. So it's hard for an independent to run on those sorts of grounds. But if you're going to run as an independent, the message you've got to send is you're running as an independent. You don't talk about preferences. You don't do preference deals. You say, I'm voting one, as most of these independents have done. I'm voting one and voters can fill in their own preferences. But initially, Karen Phelps made the mistake of talking about, and I want people who vote for other parties to put the Liberals last. Because to get elected, she needs to maximise her own personal vote, and she needs to maximise the number of preferences coming to her from third parties, who she can't influence with her how to vote. What we've seen in the last few years is a big growth of the major parties campaigning by saying, put the Libs last, or put the Nationals last, put Labor last. This has had a big impact on third party voters. and encourages preference flows in a particular direction. She tried to get that message out initially because she wanted to say, anyway, if you vote for another party, put me ahead of the Liberals. And she did that by saying, put the Liberals last. But voters confused that and thought she was saying she wanted voters for her to put the Liberals last. That upset people. Then she reversed the message saying, no, I'm giving preferences to the Liberals. And then lots of people who wanted to vote Labour and Greens were saying, well, I'm not voting for you because you're giving preferences to the Liberals. So I think she got a message completely wrong on preferences, and that's confused everybody and forced her to come up with a preference deal, which is probably her preference direction, recommendation, which has probably hurt her ability to win the seat.
Just finally, we were in Wentworth just before the leak of the Religious Freedom Report, which has somewhat embarrassed the government. Do you think that report will play into the campaign in any serious way?
I think there's a number of disputes that were occurring before the by-election and after the change of leadership. The candidate for Chisholm pulling out, that sort of disputes between the right and the left. They've kept a complete cap on it because they have to win this by-election. They can't afford to lose this by-election. So even when Malcolm Turnbull had an attack on former prime ministers hanging around like ghosts, Tony Abbott didn't respond. There was no response. And I think this religious discrimination report is another thing which there's a cap on until after the by-election. And it'll be a very interesting internal debate within the government and between the parties. And I'm sure the government doesn't want that debate before Wentworth, because Wentworth was one of the electorates with the highest proportion of people supporting gay marriage. So I think it's clearly something they don't want to talk about during the Wentworth by-election.
Anthony Green, thank you very much. We look forward to your analysis on by-election night. And now we'll move on to hear from the candidates and a couple of Wentworth voters.
I still want Liberal to win. I don't want to vote for Shorten. The only thing is that Sharma is, not from the area, I think. Dr. Felt, I think she, knows the eastern suburbs and Double Bay, so she's favourable in that way.
You say you would want the Liberals to win, but who do you think will win?
Maybe Dr. Felt. Might be sending a message to the Liberal Party that, and we're not happy totally with the Liberal Party, but we want them to stay in power, really.
We're with Liberal candidate Dave Sharma in a Paddington cafe to talk about the campaign. Dave Sharma, what messages are voters giving you about this by-election?
Well, I think, Michelle, the voters are conscious that this by-election will have national repercussions and national consequences. It's not a straightforward by-election. The government's one-seat majority in Canberra depends upon holding the seat of Wentworth. So I think voters are thinking very carefully about what their choice means, not only for Wentworth and who represents them, but for the country and the government.
They obviously had a close identification with Malcolm Turnbull. Are they upset that he's been turfed out? Or alternatively, are people critical that he left Parliament early?
Well, I think, Malcolm was an immensely well-regarded and well-liked local member, and he served this community very well, as a local member, but also, of course, as a Prime Minister and Minister. So there's no doubt that there are people who I'm speaking to who are disappointed with the conduct of the last few months, and even going back beyond that to the past decade, where the political instability in Canberra, the rotating door of Prime Ministers, they want to see that ended. They want to see politicians in Canberra focus on problems that affect them and affect the nation. And I think, we're beginning to do that now under the Morrison government.
And this disillusionment, is a strong message coming across, disillusionment with Parliament and politicians generally?
Look, I think there's no doubt that politicians as a class, and this is across party lines, have lost some of the trust that the public previously reposed in them. And I think that is as a result of the last decade, really, of political instability in Canberra. And to be honest, that's one of the reasons I've decided to get involved. I haven't been a politician before, as you know. But I think I do want to make my contribution to help improve the tone of the debate in Canberra and get politics refocused on issues of national interest.
And what are some of the issues that you will be pursuing if you do get into Parliament? Obviously, your whole background's in foreign affairs, former ambassador to Israel. Is this going to be your main focus, or do you have other priorities?
Well, look, I will first and foremost focus on being a good local member for Wentworth if I'm elected, and I think there are some important issues here, particularly around quality of life, infrastructure, investments in schools and hospitals and those sorts of issues, and preserving open spaces and parklands and sites of natural heritage. So I'll certainly be concentrating on being a good local member. Beyond that, look, I think for me, why I'm interested in continuing public service is because I believe, you know, we face some challenges in Australia, preparing for a different strategic environment in our neighbourhood than we've experienced really at any time in the post-war era, but also preparing our economy for some of the jobs and the industries of the future, which will need to be, Australia will need to embrace if we're to remain a high-wage, high-living standard place to live.
In this campaign, what's the balance between local issues and national issues?
Well, look, I think like probably most campaigns, it's a mix of both. Some voters are very focused on local issues, you know, some of which, you know, there might be a transport or open spaces or parklands or particular developments, and as a local member, I'd certainly become a champion for those voices. But also, I mean, it is a very well-informed and actively engaged, politically engaged electorate, and they follow national politics closely. And so for some other voters, it's really about national issues and the national agenda.
There's been a good deal of talk about climate change in the campaign. Some of your opponents are making that a very strong plank. And this week, of course, we had the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change warning about global warming again and saying that coal-fired power should be phased out by mid-century. They were talking, of course, internationally, not specifically about Australia. What's your view on that?
Look, I absolutely accept the science of man-made or anthropogenic climate change, and I believe Australia should be doing our part to address that. You know, I believe we should be keeping our Paris commitments and that we will meet our Paris commitments, but I do also believe that we need to be addressing not just emissions but also energy affordability and energy reliability, and we need to be doing those three things in concert.
Do you think we should be contributing to international efforts, the international fund that's been talked about, or do you think that's not a priority for Australia?
Look, I think, I mean, we have been given to the Green Climate Fund in the past. I know there are concerns about the governance around that fund and how the money's being spent, and I think like any aid money that we give or development assistance money, we want to be confident before we give it that the money will be well spent and address the objectives it's meant to be addressing.
So how important is it that we be a good international citizen on this issue, do you think?
Look, I think we are a good international citizen on this issue, and I think in Australia we tend to beat ourselves up a little too much over this sometimes. I've served and represented Australia overseas for 2 decades, and I can tell you we're very well regarded around the world as a good international citizen. Now, you know, our emissions on a per capita basis are the lowest they've been in 28 years, so I think we are making a contribution.
But they are going up. They have recently gone up broadly.
Well, I think that was partly the result of some unique circumstances that the Prime Minister pointed out. But look, you know, we are on track to meet our Paris commitments. I do believe we should meet them, and I think that's a good contribution for Australia to be making to addressing this challenge. Mindful, of course, that, you know, as a share of overall global emissions, Australia is, you know, somewhere between 1% and 2%.
And what do you say to the people like, for example, broadcaster Alan Jones, who says we should be out of Paris?
No surprises here, but as a diplomat, a former diplomat, I believe in keeping our international commitments, and I believe your international word is important. This is a commitment and agreement that the Abbott government entered into, and I think if we're going to meet the commitment, and I believe we are, then there's no reason to be walking away from it.
And just finally, to go quite local or quite Sydney, how is the kerfuffle around the Opera House and the big race fed into the campaign? I hear some talk about it locally.
Yeah, look, to be honest, it's not actually an issue that's come up with me at all. And I must say, I haven't been following it closely because voters haven't been raising it with me. It does seem like a Sydney sort of an issue, but I haven't had any voters.
You're not a racing man?
No, I'm not.
Dave Sharma, thank you for talking with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for your time, Michelle.
Tim Murray, the Labor candidate, lives in the beachside suburb of Tamarama in Wentworth, and we spoke to him at his home. Tim Murray, Labor isn't putting serious resources into this campaign, thinks its best chance of the seat being denied to the Liberal candidate is for the ALP to finish third and elect Karen Phelps on preferences. But the early indications seem to be that you're in fact getting quite a reasonable minority vote. Do you think there's a chance you will come in second, and how hard are you trying?
So a lot of things in that question there. I'm very satisfied with the amount of resources we have for our campaign. One of the most encouraging things is the number of people who are volunteering their time. The best way to get a vote is to get out and meet people, knock on their doors or meet them on the street. And we have literally hundreds of people who volunteered for this campaign. We've crowdsourced our funding for this campaign. Hundreds of people have made very generous donations, and we have sufficient funds in order to wage a successful campaign. As you pointed out, unexpectedly, it looks like we are running the solid second in this race. So I'm quite confident that we will finish second in first preferences.
But given that Phelps is preferencing the Libs, there's not a realistic chance that Labor could seize this seat, is there?
Well, the people of Wentworth are very well educated, and they're more than capable of working out how to allocate their preferences. So we can't assume just because Karen Phelps has said that she's preferencing the Liberal Party that people will choose to vote that way.
Bill Shorten hasn't been seen in Wentworth so far. Will he appear between now and polling day?
I'm very grateful for any senior member of the Labor Party coming to the electorate. I've had Tanya Plibersek come here twice. Penny Wong is coming this Thursday. Matt Thistlethwaite was just up at the pre-polling with me. And Jodie Mackay from the state opposition came out as well. So Mark Dreyfus came and spent a morning with me at Edgecliff Station, which was great. I got to ask him lots of questions. So we're getting a lot of support. Let's remember, this is a solid Liberal seat that is for the Liberal Party to lose.
So what are your messages to the voters in this solid Liberal seat, or normally solid Liberal seat?
I think it is a very socially progressive electorate. The 80% vote for marriage equality, I think, was the third highest in the country. And the Liberal Party has left Wentworth. It has moved to the right and left the socially progressive Liberals here without somebody to represent them, and I want to represent them. There are three key things that I am emphasising in this campaign. Climate policy. That unites everybody in this electorate. People want policy. The reason why we have high electricity prices is not because of increasing alternative energy in the mix. It's a lack of policy. The policy stasis is why we've got higher electricity prices. The Finkel Review said that very clearly. So climate policy is number one. Number two is education. Now, we know the Labor Party plans to spend $17 billion to fix publicly financed education. And here in this electorate, we need another high school. There's been a large increase in the population of families and then children in primary school, and there's just not enough publicly funded high school places here. So we will work to get a new school. Also, TAFE. People in business here tell me that they can't get the skilled workers they need, and that is because our TAFE system is broken. The New South Wales Liberals want to close down Randwick TAFE and sell it off. We want to invest in it and build it up. Third, young people can't afford to buy a house. I had a group of 20-somethings meeting here last week, and one of them quipped that he'd just moved out of home to rent for life. And when I said that the Labor Party plans to remove negative gearing, his face lit up. And every time I talk about that with young people, their faces light up. They want a level playing field in order to be able to get the opportunity to buy their own home.
Now, you mentioned that many people are quite progressive in this electorate. How much blowback are you getting on Labor's quite harsh policy towards asylum seekers and offshore processing?
I think the people of Wentworth are very compassionate about the way we should be dealing with asylum seekers. I think the public discourse on asylum seekers has been poisoned by the Liberal Party, and it's hard for anybody to be able to argue across our country for a compassionate policy. The Labor Party intends to be more compassionate in the way it manages asylum seekers. It's their intention to take up Jacinta Ardern's offer that New Zealand would take 150 asylum seekers per year as soon as they took office.
That's not many, though.
That is not many, but let's remember she made that offer some time ago, and I would expect that when asked, they may be able to take more than 150 in the first go, maybe 300. And taking 300 would go a long way to resolving the problem of children being held in detention.
And Labor should press for New Zealand to take more?
yes, Labor government?
Absolutely. And the Labor Party will also look to negotiate regional solutions to help move the rest of the people there to safety.
Now, you've been supported by Malcolm Turnbull's son, Alex. What sort of reaction are you getting about Malcolm Turnbull? What are people saying about the former member?
He was much loved in this area, and people are angry that he was removed in the way he was removed. And remember, the last thing he was holding in his hand when he was knifed was the NEG, a climate policy. The Liberal Party were unable to accept a climate policy in any form, and they got rid of him because of that. And the people here are angry. They like Malcolm, and they wanted a climate policy.
Now, just finally, you're from a business and entrepreneurial background, not the typical Labor candidate, perhaps. Do you think that Labor needs to do more nationally to bring business on side?
I think we need to be listening to business, and that will help us to improve any policies that we're going to put in place. Whether business likes or dislikes a policy, there's always a lot of detail in implementing a policy, so you must listen to business.
Tim Murray, thank you very much.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks for coming here.
Who would you like to win this by-election?
I guess probably somebody from the New Australian Conservatives. Because I think the Liberal Party isn't particularly conservative in terms of social policy. I mean, economically they probably are, more or less. But I wouldn't consider them like a true conservative party.
Now, you've said who you'd like to get in, but who do you think will win this by-election?
Probably the Liberal Party, because people vote tribally. And because the Liberal Party is more or less crossing over into Labor in terms of their sort of liberal policy.
There are 16 candidates in the Wentworth field, but the one that the government fears most is Keren Phelps. Keren Phelps, has the campaign been harder than you'd anticipated?
I expected that the campaign would be hard. It's certainly a relentless schedule. But one of the things that surprised me a little was the extent to which the dirty tricks would be conducted by one or other of my opponents.
And what have they been, those dirty tricks?
Well, our posters being torn down was the first one. I'd heard that that had happened in previous elections, but when you experience it, it's quite distressing because you have to then try and scramble around and get them put back up again. There's been a nasty attack ad campaign on Facebook, social media, and pamphleting in letterboxes by the Liberal Party, which has also been something that a lot of people have commented to me about that they have found distasteful.
Now, to have a prospect of taking this seat, you need to finish second on the primary vote. How confident are you that you can do that?
I'm confident that I could come in second, provided that enough people who are either disaffected Liberals and people who agree with my progressive policy agenda are prepared to put their support behind an independent who is a local with a strong voice, and for them to believe that I can take their issues forward as a representative for Wentworth in Canberra.
And are you getting strong feedback that a lot of people thinking that way or not?
A lot of people are thanking me for standing, for giving them choice in this election, that they don't have to just go with one of the major parties because that's what they've always done. And people in the Wentworth area, they know me. They've known me for a really long time. I've been a local GP in Double Bay for almost 20 years. I've been in the media. They've known me for my advocacy work. And, you know, they're at least familiar with the work that I've done. So I'm a known quantity for most people.
One problem which seems to have arisen is confusion over your position or positions on preferences. You started by saying or suggesting people preference against the Liberals and ended up by saying that your ticket would preference Liberals. How much support do you think that's cost you, and do you regret not having a cleaner position, as it were, on that?
It certainly has been confusing. The whole preferences system is very confusing. And the point about this campaign is that it was really thrust upon us with very little notice. We only had 3 weeks to mount an entire campaign with a campaign infrastructure and everything that that entails. And so the initial messaging was about sending a protest vote to the Liberals. And then when I received advice about the complexity of the preferences system, it became clear that with a high number of candidates, and it, as it turns out, 16, that people who wanted me to be elected in Wentworth as their representative would need a how to vote guide, and that the preference flow would be best if Liberal was ahead of Labor on my how to vote card. Now, bearing in mind that people can actually put their vote any way they wish as long as they fill out all 16 squares, this was a way of helping people to guide them into the best way to have me elected on their behalf.
Your critics have also made something of the fact that you hired a campaigner who'd worked for Labor. Do you think, in retrospect, that was not a good idea to do, or has he been helpful?
We needed to have an experienced campaign advisor, and I'm very happy with the advice that I've been receiving. Obviously, in a campaign such as this, it would be unlikely to find a campaigner who had not worked for one side or the other at some point. And my campaign manager has worked for Julia Gillard in the past, and so I knew that he was experienced. But I also have on my campaign team people who have worked for the Liberal Party as well. It's just that the campaign advisor that I have who's worked for Labor is getting a lot more attention.
Could make for some interesting coffee breaks.
I've always sought to take my advice from across the political spectrum.
What do you think will be the main factors or issues in actually changing votes at this election?
Well, I think the first thing is, where's Malcolm? What's happened to the Prime Minister that was elected as the member for Wentworth and was a very popular member for Wentworth? And people still haven't had an explanation as to why that's happened, and they are very upset that yet another Prime Minister has been dispatched without the will of the people. And certainly in a seat like Wentworth with a popular local member, that's a major issue. The other thing that people are wanting is action on climate change. They want social justice. They see this as a government that's heartless, and particularly in view of the treatment of asylum seekers on Manus Island and Nauru. Of course, people want a strong economy, and that's where my economically sensible, socially progressive position comes from. And of course, a lot of people are very concerned about the mainstay issues of federal election campaigns, like the healthcare system and education.
And of course, there's been a rogue issue which has arisen just in the last few days, and that's the whole Opera House kerfuffle and the horse race. Has this played at all into the campaign? I think you've at least sought to make something of this.
Well, of course, last week we had the upheaval at the ABC, and that was something that concerned a great number of people since the beginning of the campaign. And then this week, the commercialisation of the sales of the Opera House has become a major issue of concern, because people see the Sydney Opera House as a national treasure. It's an architectural icon. It has World Heritage listing. And it may well not even be legal to put these kinds of commercial messages on the sales of the Opera House. That remains to be seen. But certainly with a petition that has over 230,000 signatures at last count delivered to Gladys Berejiklian, it is, I think, appalling that both Labor and Liberal leaders in this state have given their support to this particular action. And I think they've made the wrong call.
And here in your apartment, you actually overlook the Opera House.
And see the Opera House.
So you're reminded of it. Now, you're being painted, of course, by the Liberals as anti-Liberal, and that this a win by you would in fact be something of a victory for Bill Shorten. If you become the member for Wentworth, how do you see yourself playing that role? Do you think you would be more often voting with the government or the opposition? And what's your position on any confidence vote?
One of the remarkable things about this election campaign is that I've been painted as a Liberal supporter, a Labor supporter, a Green supporter, and an opponent of all of those as well. I think that's the mainstay of an independent, is that you can't be labelled or pigeonholed with any particular party label. And the important thing is that I am an issues-based person. I listen, I consult with experts, I gather evidence, and then make a decision about policy. And I've done that across all of my policy areas, including education and health and the need for a National Integrity Commission. I've consulted widely, and so I can't really be politically pigeonholed in that way. I have already said that I wouldn't block supply. I have said that I think that the government and governments generally, except in exceptional circumstances, should fulfil their term. I think there's a case for longer fixed terms, four-year fixed terms, and I certainly don't think it's in Australia's interest to send Australia to the polls for a general election before this term of government is concluded. That said, I think the important role for an independent is to support good legislation, to help to modify legislation that's not great, and to block bad legislation. And that is what I've said I would do. In terms of no confidence, I would have to see how the government behaves. I mean, if there was a really major issue of tremendous concern where I didn't have confidence in the government's actions, then I would have to see what that meant at the time. But my intention would not be to force an early election.
Karen Phelps, thank you very much.
Thanks, Michelle.
And that's all from this Politics podcast. Thank you to my producer, Eliza Berlage. We'll be back with another interview soon, but goodbye for now.
Our theme music is by Lee Rosevier. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.